My name is Gary Butterfield.
My name is Cole Ross.
You're listening to Best Quality Vacuum, the Duckfeed show about Breaking Bad, El Camino, and Better Call Saul.
And we're talking Hazard Pay this week, baby, written by Peter Gould, directed by Adam Bernstein, and originally aired on July the 12th of 2012.
Yeah, and this is kind of like a montage episode.
Yeah.
This takes place over a couple of months of the crew setting up their new cooking operation.
Yeah. There are logistical concerns to get this to get everything there. They don't have anywhere to cook. They have precursor. You know, they've got Lydia in the fold, and this is them kind of figuring out what their little cooking gimmick's going to be.
Yeah, and the thing they come up with is cooking inside houses that are being bug bombed, fumigated. The crew. Vince Gilligan and all the writers' room who came up with this were immensely proud of it. they talk about how cool they think this idea is. They don't know if it would work, but they're just like, it's real cute.
Yeah,
you know,
everyone
just giving each other high fives for this clever idea. And you know, it's clever.
Yeah.
Like I don't question what goes on inside those tents.
No,
it doesn't happen as much as, you know, I live in a major city. I don't see those tents with a frequency that would get me $40,000 out of debt if I was cooking meth in them. You know, like, I just don't see them that often.
Yeah. You know, I don't know that I've ever seen an entire house tented like that.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's not still the meta.
Touch grass, friend.
No, obviously it was a joke. Yeah.
No, I know. I also, it makes me wonder if it's a New Mexico thing.
Oh, huh.
Like they got some kind of like sand weevil or something.
Ah, scorpions.
Yeah.
Tip to toe, wall to wall scorpions.
Yeah, they have it instead of insulation. They use scorpion eggs and it finally bit them in the ass.
But for a week or two there, it was beautiful.
It was really nice. It was cool inside that house. I'll tell you that much. So this brings Walt into the orbit of his ultimate downfall. The pest control company, Vominos Pest.
Yes.
You know, the employer of a new villain for the season, Todd Alquist, and his connections, which will ruin everything.
Mm-hmm.
We get to meet him for the first time in this episode.
Yeah.
Played by Jesse Plemons, who is interesting and good.
Yeah.
I like Jesse Plemons a lot.
Yeah. This was my first exposure to a Jesse Plemons. What was he in before this?
Don't remember. I've seen him around. He is in, the name is escaping me, big movie this year. You know what? We're like a day out from a duck stream. Leave us alone.
We're
recording this in advance.
He was in big stuff. Like he was in, he was in, Killers of the Flower Moon. He was in, you know, Civil War.
Yes.
Like he got real big after this.
Yes.
Right. But I was just
this felt like a breakthrough, but he was in things before this. I recognized him as a guy, but it was, you know, smaller.
This, yeah.
It's probably fair to say this is a breakthrough.
He was
I know what it is. He's at Friday Night Lights.
Oh,
my ex used to watch that show. That was his big breakthrough.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, there we go. Because I remember I was watching this at the time. My ex was not watching it, but she had watched Friday Night Lights, and then she would come into the room and see Todd.
Gotcha.
You know, and I was rewatching it. This was after it aired. But she would be like, oh, it's, you know, it's, and I can't remember the name of the character in Friday Night Lights. It doesn't matter. But yeah, that was his big breakthrough.
Right. Yeah. Looking at the... looking at his filmography, the only movie that I recognize before Breaking Bad is the weirdly dark Seth Rogen movie, Observe and Report.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the Cable Guy too, kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, you know, we only get a little bit of Todd in this, but we kind of see the beginnings of Walt's appreciation of his...
obedience.
Yeah, dog-like obedience, let's say.
Yeah, his unthinking glare.
You know? Completely dead eyes.
Yeah. I love Todd. Todd is dull and dumb in a way that disarms you, but it ends up being actually exceedingly evil and scary.
Yes.
How he comes across. Like just having that blank expression. Truly, you know, no heart.
Yeah. There's no real production detail that I saw. Like there's some fun things that I'll bring up during the episode, but we can get into the story by having Mike going around in disguise. He's a paralegal now.
It's great. I don't know if you become a paralegal at Mike's age, but go get him, seniors. They're coming in. They're getting into a room with Dennis, the manager of the laundromat. We've seen him before. He's the one who let Steve Gomez bring in the dogs. Mm-hmm. And the lawyer knows what's going on. Yeah. And you could, I love all the face acting going on here. Like Dennis, like as soon as he sees Mike being scared, you know, the lawyer is sitting down, putting on his headphones and turning up a MP3 player. He doesn't need to hear this.
It's so funny that he's still scared of Mike, even though he is in county lockup. It would be the worst place to try and hurt somebody.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, Mike could make it happen.
Yeah.
You know, he's true. Mike. It's the same thing he was playing on Chow.
Yep.
Last episode. You know, he's keeping these guys under control. There's loyalty, but it's also, he understands, you know, the nature of the biz here.
Yeah. So, you know, Mike asked Dennis if he heard about Chow, and, you know, and the rumor is, oh, Chow went out of town, you know, but no, he was killed.
Yeah.
And that's Mike been dealt with.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, he was killed and it's been dealt with. And the deal with Gus is still in place. Basically like, oh, if any of Mike's guys see that they're dropping one by one, more likely to flip for protection, probably.
Right? Very much so. You know, and Mike says, no, the deal's still in place. You will, yeah, everything's fine. Dennis doesn't believe him. Dennis is a straight shooter with him. It's like, listen, you know me, I'm not going to talk, but other people are going to if they don't get their money.
Yes.
You know, their hazard pay. And Mike says, listen, you know, if you trust me, you will be made whole. Everyone will be made whole.
Mm-hmm.
This will be taken care of. The show never actually quite spells this out. So I think it's worth saying the deal that Gus had was if something bad happened and he died, they would still get this money, set up accounts to pay them in kind of perpetuity, to be quiet. So these people are doing this for their family or to be rich when they get out of jail.
Right.
You know, or what have you. Mm-hmm. And you can understand, like, if without that carrot, they could just get out of jail.
Yeah.
You know? It's like very obvious, but it's worth thinking about, you know, like, oh, like why would you talk? You wouldn't want to be a snitch. Well, you're getting nothing and it's like 5 years of your life.
Yeah.
For, you know, to protect a guy who's dead and other people who like cooked meth. I don't know. It's I like that the show doesn't explain it. Mm-hmm. I remember watching it in the final season of this. They did airings of it at the Hollywood Theater.
Okay.
It was just free. You could just go into the theater and watch it on the big screen.
Oh man, that's
certainly
great.
Not legal. And I remember it really, obviously everyone was really invested in the story. So it was very communal. And I remember being there and having somebody be like, what the fuck deal are they talking about? Like over to me, like to a stranger, like in a movie. And I was like, oh, it was like this. And explaining to them, it was very cute. Like, oh yeah. Anyway.
You see, this salt shaker is the
yes.
Yeah.
Ooh, if we sit here talking about time travel, we're gonna be here all night with straws making diagrams. It doesn't matter. Like,
oh man. So with Dennis down, Mike and the lawyer go to leave, and as they're standing in the Sally port there, Mike is, you know, says like, yeah, no, we're gonna hit everybody today. Like somebody's up at Las Lunas. They're like kind of scattered all around.
Yeah. You know? And they have to do everyone today because he needs to catch them before they talk. Like there's a real ticking clock. The lawyer is disheartened and Mike looks at the camera and screams, hey, let's open up. He's pissed.
Yeah.
This is such a pain in Mike's ass.
Yeah.
Yeah, pain in the Mike's ass. We cut over to some more Walt abuse.
Yeah.
He's moving all of his stuff back in the house.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Skyler says, oh, you know, shouldn't we talk about this? And he's like, nah, it's time.
Yeah.
You know, he's unilaterally deciding.
Yes. Didn't consult with her or anything. Says, oh, we'll keep the condo for now because if I sell it in this market, we'll take a bath. Like, just, you know, talking about kitchen table stuff.
Yeah, here. Logistics. Going back to you know, trying to become Bruce Wayne
again.
And Skyler's not happy about this. Walt grabs Leaves of Grass, the book that Gail gave him, kind of has a fond smile, like, oh, that guy I had murdered, and then puts in the nightstand.
Yep.
Like, Gail, those are some memories. Yeah. Those are some memories. Uh-huh. Good thing I love poetry.
A defining trait of me from way back.
Somewhere. Yeah.
Oh, so Mike's in Saul's lobby listening to Huel breathe.
Yeah.
And inside the office, Saul is really upset that Mike is being cut in. You know, saying like, yeah, it's the three amigos. It's not the four amigos. Right?
Yeah.
And this is really just because, you know, Mike threatened to break Saul's legs. And he knows that he's serious because he gave me the dead mackerel eyes.
he was when he was trying to figure out where Pinkman was.
Yes.
You know, at the end. And this is really interesting to think about with Saul and Mike's history.
Mm-hmm.
In Better Call Saul, you get the sense that in between there, most of the time, they did not hang out.
They
did not have a close relationship. So it is at least somewhat fragile, even though mm-hmm. they come to a kind of understanding at the end of that series.
Yes.
A lot of time has come through. Walt said, they're really good joke. He's like, he threatened me. And Walt goes, Mike threatens everyone. It's what he did. Does he probably threatened three people on the way here? Grow up here. A very Peter Gould line. You know, I know that he didn't write this episode; he directed it, but this has Peter Gould.
Peter Gould wrote it.
Oh, gotcha.
It's an extremely Peter Gould episode, non-derogatory.
Yeah. And Saul says, "Bring him in. Let this be known that I do this under duress." And Walt says, "Noted."
Yes.
And Mike comes in. He starts taking charge. You know, he lays down ground rules. He's like, "I will deign myself to be with you idiots in this thing, but this is how we're going to do it."
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm going to handle the business. That's my end. I manage it. You guys handle the product and that's it. There's total separation.
Yes.
You know, you don't tell me how to handle the business. I won't tell you how to do the product. And Walt goes, sure. You know, it like, again, we're in awful Walt territory.
Yeah. You know. And you know, they go to leave and Walt's kind of straggling behind and Saul grabs him and asks like, "Hey, are you okay with this?" And the reason he said sure is to, you know, this assumption, you know, he handles the business and I handle him, you know.
Yeah.
And he's not just the cook, he is the top of this operation. It is not an equal partnership.
Yeah. Real dickhead thing to say.
Yep.
Yeah. So we got on this little tour of places they could possibly cook at. Saul takes him to this box factory.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a cook site, you know, everyone's answering questions about like whether it's loud, about the smells, things like that. I love this one. I think they would want to partition it off.
Uh-huh.
Like that's very funny to me. Like, yeah. You know, and then Walt says, "Oh, I haven't seen one of these, you know, since I was a kid. I used to work in something like this." But the humidity, the corrugator will ruin this product.
Right.
And, you know, blast steam through this wood or this cardboard. We can't do it.
No. And you know, it's like, yeah, this place is like a jungle when it's, you know, when it's firing.
Yes.
You know, it's like, it's just, it's water and salt. It'll get in there, ruin everything. The next stop is a tortilla factory. I love this. The special feature is they get all the free tortillas they want. And the fresh tortillas off the line that are still kind of like puffed up. God, yeah. I want to eat one of those so fucking bad.
You imagine until you had a tortilla off the line.
I know, right?
Like, yeah, get Tom Petty to bring you one. but yeah, they look really good. They're all puffed up and good.
Yeah.
There.
And you know, Jesse says like, yeah, people are probably going to notice when the tortillas start smelling like cat piss. And Walt brings up, well, anything food related is going to have unannounced government inspections. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Jesse leaves. He helps himself to a tortilla off the line.
Yeah.
Saul takes him to the third place, the laser tag place. And this is just as like a joke stop.
Yeah.
You know, it's like everyone's like, hell no.
It's like, keep an open mind. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. It seemed, you know, do it. Mm-hmm. The fourth location, and he's like, this is a long shot, and it's Vamanos Pest.
Yes.
The owner is Amenable. We actually meet him in Better Call Saul. There's a prequel to the owner, which is very interesting.
Yeah. He's the breaking and entering guy who helps Saul steal the Hummel.
Yeah. And he gets off of community service.
Yes.
With him. And Mike, you know, this is way too small. We can't do this. You know, there's a police precinct right around the corner. And Walt says, no, it's perfect. And they're like, we can't do it here. And he's like, who said we have to do it here? And it's like, okay, fucking coy boy. Fucking guessing lad.
Just assume that Walt is always saying these things with his fingers tented.
Yeah, it's real. He's turned into a leprechaun. This is neither here nor there. How funny is it in Wayne and Garth that Garth is terrified of the leprechaun? That's such a good joke. It's such a good little touch.
I remember being freaked out by that movie as a kid. Like, it is it's scary. Real gross. Yeah.
Yeah, it's gross and scary, but Garth just like not being someone just behind the leprechaun and him just crawling out of his skin.
Trying to get away.
Yeah, it's cute.
Yeah, it's very cute. Yeah. So we learn what the fuck Walt is, you know, thinking. I love that he waited like a whole day to explain this. He's like, oh. But they're in a car scoping out Vomino's Pest tenting a house. Walt says, you know, they put up the tent and, you know, after the family leaves, before they activate the foggers, we get in there and we do a cook. And then, yep. You know, we leave, bomb the house. The crew comes in and breaks everything down. And, you know, we move on to the next one.
Yeah. Yeah. There's downsides to this. A lot to set up every time. Things like mm-hmm. that. Like, that sucks, but it's doable.
Yes.
You know, Saul says, like, all these workers, this business is legitimate, but they're second story men. Mm-hmm. They either knock over the houses themselves after a while, or they sell the information.
Yes.
You know, they case the joint. And Mike says, hey, should we take a vote? And Walt goes, why should we take a vote? And Mike somehow doesn't punch him in the back of the head.
Right.
Here.
I would twist Walt's head off like a bottle cap.
Yeah. There's a lot of there's a lot of times I would do that to Walt in this, and I'm not strong or violent.
Oh, man. So Saul honks at Ira and gives a thumbs up. The deal is going. And then we get a callback to happier, lighter days.
Yes. Fun little cameo.
Yeah.
Skinny Pete playing a keyboard in a music shop like a master. Yeah. While Badger stabs a double neck guitar, you know, practicing in their band. And it's Guitar Center, so an employee comes over and goes, you got a good sound on that. Check out the weight on those bad boys, you know, because Guitar Center.
Yeah.
And Skinny Pete lets them know what they're there for. It's roadie cases.
Yes.
You know, that they have very specific specs mm-hmm. for them.
Yeah. I love Skinny Pete being so good at piano. That's just something that actor can do.
Yeah. You know? It's a really good touch because that feels real for the character.
It does.
You know, like, people took piano lessons regardless mm-hmm. of where they end up in life.
Yeah, yeah. It's a hidden depths kind of thing. I love it.
Yeah, it's really good.
So, like, yeah, we're here for the roadie cases. Badger's just in the background messing around with the instruments, trying to do a one-man band thing with a bass drum and the guitar.
And drum. It's really good.
Yeah.
So they have all the stats, and he's like, oh, we're going to pay cash for everything. And the worker goes, oh, well, we'll throw in free stenciling. You know, what's the name of your band? And we cut back to the garage where they're, you know, sitting there loading up. Oh, that doesn't happen just yet. When they load mm-hmm. them up, they put Vominos. Sorry about that.
Yeah, yeah.
They cut back to the garage where Skinny Pete and Badger are talking to Jesse. Like, looks mm-hmm. like you're getting started up. We want in.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
If there's any small part we can play of this, we'd do it.
Mm-hmm. Because they fucking adore Jesse. They were going to find out in El Camino. Like, they think he's the coolest guy.
They do adore him. And also, like, sweet gig. Yeah, uh-huh. They're making good money.
Yeah.
There. Like, who knows what they're doing now?
Yeah. But Jesse looks at Mike and then says, hey, maybe someday. Kind of trying to let him down gentle, right?
Yeah. We get to Mike debriefing the fumigators mm-hmm. there. And he's saying, listen, you know, you go through, you do everything the same. You know, except for one important detail, and he waits for somebody to tell him no. And Todd says, no stealing.
Yeah,
that's right. No stealing, no change out of the couch cushions, don't sniff any panties, mm-hmm. don't do anything. And this information is lock and key.
Yes.
The information about these houses never goes out.
Right.
You know.
And Walt and Jesse are just kind of standing back and smiling at Mike giving his spiel, right? You know, like,
he gasses them up. You know, uh-huh. he says, you might see these two around. If you see them, don't speak unless you're spoken to. As far as you're concerned, they're named Yes, Sir and No, Sir.
Mm-hmm.
And Walt and Jesse are both like, hey, that's pretty cool. You know, I feel like us.
We've got
except before the bad part.
Oh, man. So Walt and Jesse get to bond again a little bit.
Yep.
This is probably the most they're going to get along for the rest of the series. You know. So Jesse's kind of at his house with Walt, laying out his plan for how to break up the gear for the cases, right? Talking about like, mm-hmm. oh, this agitator makes it a little bit too tall, but we can make it removable. And, you know, Walt is like, no, very good job. Very good job, Jesse. You know, giving mm-hmm. him the attaboys.
Yeah. And he brings up the idea of the surgical tents he saw down in Mexico to contain the smell.
Yes.
Andrea and Brock show up. This is at Jesse's house. That's mm-hmm. happening. And Walt gets up. And this is great because we know what Walt did to Brock.
Yep.
The tension here is really good. You know, Walt introduces himself as Jesse's friend. And he tries to say hi to Brock. And Brock, like, stonewalls him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Brock, at some, like, Walt's smart enough that he didn't just, like, hold Brock down and pour flowers down his throat. <You know? laughs> Like, eat him, you little shit.
Yeah.
But he probably on some kid level has an association of like, oh, I met that guy and I got really sick.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, and just has like a chronological attachment of those two mm-hmm. things.
Yeah. Just giving him like wild side eye and sitting down and playing his PSP.
Yeah.
You know, and Walt tries to sweeten him up, saying like, I heard you were in the hospital and you were very brave.
Yeah. It's pretty gross.
Yeah.
Jesse invites Walt to stay behind and have a beer while they make dinner. You know, cute. Again, they're friends now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So now we go to the first cook, Ira and the gang. They show up and they tent a new house. And the owner is shocked when like there's just all these huge gear cases.
Yeah. And I love Ira rolling with it. He's like, uh-huh. How much poison do you use? He's like, well, it's not the amount of poison. It's getting into the right places, which is probably true-ish, you know, but it is very funny.
Yeah.
And he's like, this you got your guarantee, right? Well, we'll kill him dead, sir. Like, Ira's great.
I love Ira. I also love this like very studied like pest control thing, you know, like people who work pest control, they know a lot about chemicals and safety and all that. But like, there's no reason for him to like use the taxonomy when he's talking about all of this. It's real. Like it's real.
No job at him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
So Walt and Jesse show up and Todd kind of hesitates and, you know, before he lets them go in, Todd pulls them aside and says, hey, there was a nanny cam in the living room clock. I went ahead and disabled that for you. And Walt asks for Todd's name.
Yep. And it just, you know, very good. You know, you're like, I see potential in you, young man. Teacher mode. He's basking in this. This feels great.
Yeah.
We get a montage of the setup and the cook set to On a Clear Day You Can See Forever by the Peddlers.
Awesome. Love it.
Good song. Until they eventually take a beer break. And they're watching The Three Stooges, which I assume Walt chose because he's old. And that's how you enjoy the Three Stooges.
Jesse was watching the Three Stooges when he was high earlier in the series.
Oh. Yeah. I forgot about that.
I think he might be a stooge head.
He might be a stooge hound. Gross. That's like the least real. That's the most fantastical thing that happens in this entire series. Robot machine guns aside.
Yeah. Like, cousins.
Wow. Yeah. Cousins. Yeah. The identical twin supervillain cousins. Completely plausible next to somebody Jesse's age being really into the Three Stooges.
But they're having a talk, you know. Walt is saying like, "Oh, it was really nice seeing you with Andrea and with Andrea and Brock, right?
Yeah.
You know, and the way she looks at you, you think, oh, definitely, you know." And Jesse says, like, "I mean, it would be great, you know, instant family, right?"
Yeah, this is an interesting scene. I wanted to talk to you about this scene. We'll go through it, and then I want to pause for a second. You know, so Walt then says, like, you know, just listen to your gut. You know, and have you thought of what is your plan regarding honesty, you know, like about what we do? And Jesse gets really serious. The way I read this is he seems scared.
Yes.
He's like, no, well, I've never told her anything. She knows she's not an idiot. She knows I'm involved in something, but I haven't told her any details. Mm-hmm. You know, and Walt says, you know, Jesse's scared. He's saying, you know, you don't need to kill her. Or anything. And Walt says, you know, with everything we've been through, the two of us, this has to be your decision. You've earned that. Jesse is really taken aback by this. Mm-hmm. He's really touched. He goes, really? You know? And then Walt kind of finishes and says, you know, secrets create these barriers. Believe me, I know. All that you've done is part of you. And if you choose to spend the rest of your life with this person, you'll have to decide how much you'll share with her.
Mm-hmm.
And the implication being, you know, that he's a murderer.
Yeah.
Like Jesse, like Gail. He's like, listen, I'm just saying I trust you. And I know you'll make the right call. If she loves you, you'll understand, or she'll understand.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing I wanted to ask about is this scene to me reads entirely, if this scene in a vacuum just feels like Walt manipulating Jesse into breaking up with Andrea. So that is not a one to isolate him because he's a monster man. And he wants to control him, but also to stop that potential leak and get, you know, maybe Brock says something, you know, at some point. That's how this scene specifically reads to me. If you think about how he acts with Skyler, though, there's part of him that does expect this and believe it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the way he is trying to just kind of get back into like nothing has happened and kind of believes that will work. There may be some, you know, there's a part of him that's like, no, Skyler is going to forgive me and she knows.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I don't, how did you read this in terms of his sincerity and intention?
Yeah, I don't even know if Walt knows when he's manipulating Jesse anymore.
Yeah.
Right? I think that those two things can coexist. And also, like, seeing Jesse's reaction to, you know, just raising up this logical crossroads that is going to be reached, right?
Yes.
You know, like, hey, the fear, I think Walt just, like, instinctually sensed an advantage while also saying something that he hopes is true for him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can see it being kind of both ways, too. Like, in this season, he is, you know, of two minds with, like, basically everything. And making decisions off the cuff. But mm-hmm. it's just an interesting scene, because if I had seen it without any other context,
yeah.
I would be like, oh, this is Master Manipulator Walt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like he's giving him enough rope to hang himself with.
Mm-hmm.
Like he knows that extending this trust to Jesse will ultimately pay off and make Jesse do what he wants him to do more than like forbidding him or telling him to do something.
It's also, I think, a bit of a symptom of a trust that is already, if not broken, broken and mended poorly, or at least bent so far out of shape that it's not functional anymore, which is, you know, Jesse immediately clams up. You know, they've been on this, you know, this little high, getting along together, getting the band back together. They've been on this little high, then he immediately clams up. If Jesse trusted that Walt was being sincere and telling the truth, he wouldn't do what he ultimately does, which is break up with Andrea. He wouldn't see himself as putting Andrea in danger by being associated with him and therefore Walt. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know,
so it doesn't matter whether he was intending to manipulate him or not, mm-hmm. you know, it kind of happened regardless.
Yeah.
You know, and he doesn't, you know, he's almost manipulating him by, like, in the long term, like through mm-hmm. the other relationship they developed up until that point. So
yeah,
it's an interesting scene.
Yeah. Like, and you know, to do that while expressing, you know, trust and this two-way street and their mm-hmm. You know, invoking their past together in a positive thing that ultimately leads to Jesse's further isolation is real distasteful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's gross.
Yeah.
Yeah. We get a quick check-in with Skylar. Maria's at the car wash, harping on the workers, having streaks on their car. Very specifically, the ethnic-looking one did fine.
She says the more ethnic-looking one.
Yeah, did well, but the other one, you know, I don't mean to tell you your business, but this is simple quality control.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Fucking Marie. And, yep. You know, you want somebody to tell Marie to shut up, but not like this.
Yeah.
You know, but Marie tells Skylar, you know, Hank's back at work, you know, like just as PT's going great. You know, thanks for that, by the way. And you know, she's still bitter about the way that the DEA ignored him and sidelined him. Right.
Yeah.
You know, she's like, as far as I'm concerned, it's too little too late.
Yeah. She's making small talk.
Yeah.
You know, about things. And eventually she says, hey, are you going to do anything for Walt's birthday this year? It's coming up. And Skylar says, no, I don't think so. And Marie says, no, we have to. Like, mm-hmm. it's a big year. Like, it wasn't it last year on his birthday that he got diagnosed?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's made it a year. And Skylar is stressed out by thinking about all this, just, you know, gets up and pulls out a cigarette.
Right. And Marie is absolutely shocked. Wait a minute. When did you start smoking? You don't smoke. And
what about,
like,
Walt? What about the baby?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah.
And, you know, I just got Anna Gunn's acting on this, like just the automatic way, like she almost doesn't look like she's in control of what she's doing here.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Starts shouting at Marie to shut up. And Marie mm-hmm. protests at first, like, oh, don't talk to me that way again. And she just tells her over and over again.
Yeah.
You know, shut up.
Screaming, losing it, crying until she ultimately can't form coherent words anymore.
Yeah.
It's a breakdown.
Yeah. Big time breakdown. We're going to get back to, we're going to get something that implies that, you know, Marie was a good sister after this and didn't just be like, yeah, fuck you too. And left mm-hmm. or just like, I'm going to give you some space. Like did console her cause she's going to bring her home.
Yes.
And stuff for when they show up later. Yeah. So Jesse and Walt measure out their yield and set up the foggers. And when Walt gets home, Marie is waiting for him.
Yeah.
You know, she's put Skylar to bed. And Marie says, listen, you know, there's something going on.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to leave until I know what's wrong. Like something is a big deal. Are you gambling again?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and Walt Stonewall's and like, is the cancer back? You have to tell me the truth. And Walt whips up something. you know,
something despicable.
Yeah, this is really vile.
Yeah.
You know, like super, super vile. It's canny, you know, but it's really vile.
It is a good time to play this card if you are completely devoid of caring about other people. Yeah.
My favorite song off of Murmur. But the thing that's, again, the kind of, and this is something I find with Peter Gould, kind of lead stuff. I find this a lot in Better Call Saul, where it's not a flaw, but there are contradictory thing, you know, kind of emotions that people have. And what I mean by that is here he's playing the Ted card, you know, but when he has been being a monster man to Skylar, when he's like, you know, it gets easier, all this stuff with Ted, I think on some level he does believe that, you know, because he's not an idiot. He knows Skylar is acting weird and upset, you know. I think in his mind, he thinks this is in part because of Ted stuff. And he thinks it's just going to pass the same way it did with him, you know, with Jesse and everything. So this thing that is a lie and is a manipulative, not a lie, a true thing that is manipulative that he's saying happened, I think on some level he does believe it.
Oh, yeah.
It's similar to the Jesse thing where he is using the card, but also I think he probably does think Skylar is at least a little bit freaking out because of Ted.
Yeah.
You know, and that's very well observed, this idea that she was over Ted seasons ago, but to his mind, that betrayal still looms large. Like, oh yeah, she fucked Ted. Of course it's that guy. I'm not going to forget that one.
Think about it, you know, or think about the end of the previous episode where, you know, just like when he tells her, hey, this is going to, you know, just all of this, you know, gets easier. The first example that he gives when he is trying to console slash mollify her is, you know, Ted. And then, that's only then where he says, you know, everything else.
Yes, right? Exactly.
You know,
like, and that's such a manipulation technique in many ways. Like one, it's talking about, bringing up Ted, not only because I think on some level he does believe that that's the thing upsetting her, but two, it's the thing she's arguably most culpable in on both sides. It's rubbing her nose in the affair and that she started doing this thing, this money plot with the IRS behind his back, and that got Ted paralyzed.
Right.
You know, so, you know, Ted, that thing you did, it's, it's real like, and what about your little gambling addiction? I may be an alcoholic, but you have a gambling addiction.
Yeah, well, 100%. I mean, and also it's a, God, I don't know. I feel like all I do is psychoanalyze these characters, but that's all we have here. But like, you know, it is a certain amount of, I don't know, denial on his part. It is really easy to kind of displace Skylar's, you know, devastation at all of this and say, it couldn't possibly be me, the things that I did or the way that I am relating to her under this new status quo. Like, that could not be what is breaking her or what has broken her. It has to be this other thing that is really has nothing to do with me.
Yeah. Well, and even further than that, like him still having that, you know, holding a little grudge about the infidelity, it was already him seeing himself entirely as the victim of that.
Yeah.
Like, she didn't do that out of nowhere. You know, she didn't just like say, like, I'm going to just fuck Ted.
Yeah.
You know, she did it because he was clearly lying and keeping secrets and everything.
Yeah. And that's a, you know, that's a manipulator abuser thing too, pretending that there is no history.
Exactly.
Or very, very clearly, very, you know, very clearly drawing the line right where they need to for advantage. Right.
Yeah. You know, brutal. Yeah. So he says, you know, hey, have you heard about what happened to Ted? You know, he may never walk again. And she starts going, well, yeah, of course I did. But, you know, that couldn't explain Skylar's. And Walt goes, yes, it could. You know, right? You must know.
Yeah.
You know, and he makes Marie say it because then it'll seem like her idea. She'll, you know, go along with it. Say that she had an affair with Ted Beneke. And if you the reason why this is such a canny card is it does explain a lot of previous mysteries.
Yes.
You know, explains the white relationship from the outside pretty well.
Yeah. It's a little bit of a, you know, it puts some of the tumblers in place, right?
Yes.
And you can see her, you know, kind of like working through it, right? You know, and just making her say it so that he doesn't have to be the one who directly told her.
Yes. And then he says, you know, could you keep it to yourself? I don't want, you know, I don't want you to think less of Skylar, but I don't want Hank to think less of me. mm-hmm. or Skyler. Yeah. And that's really canny as well, because Hank is that kind of guy, right? Like mm-hmm. Hank's got his masculinity stuff.
Yeah.
You can understand Walt, the character that he presents for his family, wanting to seem masculine in front of Hank.
Yeah.
And not, admit to being cuckolded.
Right.
Yeah.
Marie's gross. Just, for the first time, Marie is left speechless, you know, and just, kind of starts saying a couple of sentences and then just gets up, hugs him, leaves.
Yep. Yeah. And Walt, very proud of himself, stares on the hallway for a second, then picks up an apple and takes a big cartoon bite out of it. we go back to Jesse's, and Brock and Andrea are playing Sonic Racer All-Stars. And Jesse's very obviously upset, Andrea asks if he's okay, and he lies about this. Right. He's clearly going to break up with her.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, back at the White's house, Skyler is just laying in bed, listening to the sound of gunfire.
Yeah. She gets up and sees that the boys, Walton Jr. and Holly are watching Scarface.
Yeah.
Eating a pizza, because mom is sick. She's just been laying down. So dad ordered a pizza and did a movie night with a kind of risque movie.
Yeah.
And he's way into Scarface. This is the best part and everything. Have you seen Scarface, Cole?
God, yeah. No, we've talked about this. It is really long and I think quite slow.
Really slow and boring. And there's a part where the accent he's doing, my friend Andrew, who plays guitar in the band, reminded me of this. There's a part where he's like, "And your poison womb," or like, "Your disease fucking womb." He talks about it's the something awful,
your poison womb is making heaven too fucking crowded. Yeah.
Yeah. There's something like that where but I can't remember the exact phrasing, but it's very funny. He says it the same way he says everything in that movie. "Your poison womb." Very good.
Does he hit the B that hard?
Womb. I don't have a good Pacino, but you know how that guy talks in that movie.
Yeah. 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 I did, but just, they're not watching it on any of the weird and meandering scenes. It's obviously the end. It's the
same. The first 90% of the movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Skyler is just horrified. Right.
Yeah.
Just reveling in this violence, knowing the truth of Walt's relationship to the drug trade, just standing there. And we get this, great, kind of match cut, this sound match from her face on the gunfire to the sound of a cash counter.
Yes. Where Mike is portioning out their shares. It's been some time.
Yeah.
This is, he does the, accounts it all up. Walt does the math in his head. Things like he hasn't done since season one, mm-hmm. in the graveyard or in the junkyard with Tuco. And he says, "We're worth 300,000 short." He goes, "No, it's the mules. Like the mules take 20%. Mm-hmm. And Walt goes, "Did Gus pay for mules?
20% for transportation?"
Yeah. I fucking love this. He's trying to run it like he's playing, Sim Tower. he's running a business. And Mike very patiently explains, no, he had refrigerator trucks. He had built up this empire.
One of those, you shouldn't have killed the guy.
Yeah. And another thing, this first methylamine was free, but the next one's going to cost us.
Mm-hmm.
Lydia will not give them free methylamine forever in exchange for her and her daughter's life.
Yeah.
It's good for one barrel. So.
So then the carving starts happening.
Yes.
Mike takes out stacks to repay Jesse for the money that he fronted them for the setup.
Yes.
And then there's Ira's cut. More and more stacks are being pulled out. Then Saul's cut. And then there's the legacy costs, which I love. It's, upkeep fees. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Legacy costs.
Very euphemistic.
Yeah.
And Walt asks what this is, and he goes, making my guys whole. And Walt says, those aren't our employees. Those are Gus's employees. Why do we have to deal with that? And Mike pushes back. They may have been Gus's employees, but they're my guys.
Yeah.
Walt doesn't understand this. He's not actually an honorable criminal. Mm-hmm. What are we paying them to do? They're just not to talk. That's mm-hmm. extortion.
Yeah.
And Mike goes, it's because it's what you do.
Mm-hmm. It's what you do.
Yeah. And Walt's trying to drum up support from Jesse. And it's very cringy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, you know, get them, guys. You know, like trying to get them on his side. But it's like, this isn't a, you know, you understand this, Walt.
Yeah.
And so they don't talk to the DEA right now.
Yeah.
You know, and this is where he starts, you know, you can see the wheel spinning for what's going to eventually happen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know, it's the, what is it? Cost of value or cost of everything, value of nothing.
Yes.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
So, you know, this is a shakedown. And Walt puts his hand down on the money. You're not going to take any of that out of mine. And yeah. Jesse being the kid.
in the middle child.
Yeah.
The diplomat.
Yes. Yeah. Says, you know, hey, just take the cost out of my share. I don't care. You know,
yeah.
And then Walt, you know, gets all shitty and stands on principle and says, no, if he's going to pay, I'm going to pay.
Yeah. Awful, you know, and yeah, just gross. And Mike, you know, doesn't want to deal with this. He says like, listen, just so you know, this is how it's going to be from now on. Mm-hmm. You know, my guys are an ongoing expense.
Yes.
And Walt starts whining about the money. Mm-hmm. You know, all we have left is $137,000. That's less than even with Fring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and one of my favorite lines in the series, Mike says, you know, listen, Walta, just because you shot Jesse James, don't make you Jesse James, mm-hmm. you know, which is the thing Walter would internalize and save the entire family, but he doesn't.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, you didn't get Gus's powers. You're not Mega Man.
Yes. You know, I'm Gus Tracy. Mike leaves and Walt says, you know, how do you feel about it? And this is also incredibly like gut punch.
Uh-huh. Here,
where just like, yeah, you're not feeling super good. You know, I broke up with Andrea. Like, it doesn't seem, you know, and Walt, like going through it. And Walt goes, no, I mean about the money. You know, it's not about our friendship.
Uh-huh.
You know, we're playing some business right now.
Yeah. And, you know, Jesse tells him something, you know, that is true. You know, it's like, hey, you're looking at this wrong. Like, you know, first we cooked way less. Right.
Yeah.
That's why we got less money, but also we got a bigger piece of the pie. You know, it's like you said, we're owners, not employees, you know, kind of echoing something that Jesse said when he was having a realization about how much Gus was taking from them when he was cooking earlier.
Yes.
Right.
You know, exactly. You know, and this, I think at some point then they dropped that this has been a month.
Okay.
Or something like that. I think that we hear when Jesse goes, you know, we used to cook, you know, 200 pounds a month. We barely cleared 50.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think that this is supposed to be a month's worth of time. $137,000 a month is no small shakes.
Oh, yeah.
That's enough for everyone.
Uh-huh.
You know, that that kind of no such thing as enough capitalism,
mm-hmm.
you know, wealth thing is a sub-theme throughout the entire series.
Yeah.
Like early on, Walt gradually goes from there being a very specific amount of enough,
mm-hmm.
you know, that he has. Like he calls out the number to there literally being the way that Skyler argues him out of it is being like, this is what infinity looks like.
Yes.
You know, this is all the money. I don't even know what to do with it. We can't launder it. We can't do anything with it. You know, if you can't visualize enough, this is what it looks like. It's a stack of money in a, you know, a container.
Yeah.
In a storage in your room.
I mean, and also again, last episode, you know, he said, I'm $40,000 in the hole. Right.
Yes.
And it's like, okay, well, you easily cleared that. Also, you paid for all of the upstart expenses.
Yes.
Like for 1 month of work to be in the green as a new business.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
It looks like you work one 24-hour shift a week.
Yeah. Yeah.
I know. It's not bad. You know, like I should see if they're hiring.
Mm-hmm.
So Walt says, you know, listen, I've been thinking about Victor. You know, I originally thought that Gus killed him to send a message to us, you know, to me. But another reason I thought about it is because he took liberties. You know, he cooked without Gus's permission.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe he flew too close to the sun, got his throat cut, you know. And Jesse looks at him like, what an odd fucking thing to say.
You know, what a weird thing to do, to declare your intention to cut the throat of the new person who pushed back on you slightly.
Yes. The garage door closes and credits. I love Walt misinterpreting that two different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like the one is the classic Walt where it's like, of course it revolves around me.
Yes.
That was sent to do a message. And the new one is the new Walt where it's like, oh, why would I do that if I was Gus? Because the fucking cheek on that kid. You know, at no point does he ever find out, oh, it's because he got spotted.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't have a mind for logistics. He has these weird abstract, like, constructs of ego in his head about how he should be and what this should look like.
just an incredible, a buffoonish, skewed, egotistical concept of power. Right?
Yes. Yeah. What a gross little man.
Yeah. I think this guy sucks.
Yeah, this guy does suck. I should go to Spencer's and get a cool poster of him for my wall.
I'm going to Knox, right?
Yeah, exactly. I do knock. I look at my hat. I put on a hat that makes me feel cool. When I wear certain kinds of outdated fashion, I feel like I'm more badass. Look at me. I'm a Peaky Blinder.
Look at me. I like old stuff.
Yeah, I'm Jelly Bean. I never talk. If you like this show, head to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and give us some dollars. $5 a month gives you tons of bonus stuff, lets you listen to tons of free shows. It is a ludicrous amount of content. You get the back catalogs. It's all very good.
Yeah, we appreciate it if you go do that. Also, spread the word. That's the only way we grow. You have people are always doing a rewatch or starting a watch, but pass them our way.
Yeah, I'll tell you something that people don't start a rewatch as much as they should, and that's Venture Brothers. You can also check out the predecessor to the show, Orb.
Yeah.
Very proud of that. That's covers the Venture Brothers.
It does.
Yeah. Join us in thanking our producer, Gwen.
Thank you, Gwen.
Leave us ratings and reviews. Tell friends about us. And what other than that?
Other than that, I would say watch out for whack power analyses.
Mm-hmm.